Hope and peace. Two things that we need in our lives and desire in our lives, don't we? Without hope, our lives become empty, our lives become drab, don't they? We need hope. We need God's hope in our lives. With hope, and as we go through these Advent candles, you will notice that we will continue to build into of all the things that God desires for us to have in our lives. The candle of hope has to do with prophecy. It has to do, in the Old Testament, we see the people looking forward to the day that Jesus would be born. The Messiah would come. Now, they didn't know exactly what that would look like, but many times you will see them speaking of that. And as we read in the New Testament, and especially the story of Christmas and the story of Christ's life, you will notice the words "was fulfilled," or "was fulfilled what Isaiah wrote," or "Jeremiah wrote," or you will read those words over and over again. That's hope. Something that was prophesied and is now being fulfilled. And you know, as we look for us in the day and age that you and I live in, as we look to the future and to the second coming of Christ, we also are filled with hope, because we know that the prophecies given will be fulfilled. Today, we want to look at the second candle, which is a candle of peace. Peace. What is peace? We long for peace. We want peace. It is the peace of God, knowing that our sins can be forgiven. That's the start of it, and that impacts our lives incredibly. Today we have parents who will be dedicating their children to the Lord, two little baby girls. As we look at that, we have to think about the impact of Christmas on our families. You know, 30 years ago, this past November, our first daughter was born, our first child was born. And you know, in a lot of ways, we would say that the world that she grew up in is different than the world that your children, these two little girls that will be dedicated today, will be growing up in. My world was different than that of my parents. And we could keep going back and we could keep going back. And we would realize that times change, the world changes, but God doesn't. God doesn't change. And as we consider the fact that God is the same, that the promises that He made in Luke chapter 2, that passage of Scripture that was read, we see that it ends with, in verse 13, that where it says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" That's Jesus bringing something into the world, God bringing something into the world, by which we, with confidence, can bring children into this world, knowing that the world today is no different than the world was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Yes, it was different, and yet it isn't. The challenges for faith and the challenges for raising a family, they were always there and always will be. But the peace that was promised where Christ came into this world, that peace continues. And we really see that in John, Jesus speaking a number of years later than Luke there. And He says, "Peace I leave with you." That's kind of like a salutation that we would give. you know, go in peace, or we'll see you again, or travel safely, or God bless you. Jesus saying, peace I leave with you, was a very common phrase that was often used amongst the Jews especially. But then Jesus goes on and he says, my peace I give to you. And my peace is not like the peace that the world offers. My peace I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. The peace that Christ offers is for our hearts. Do you know that it is different than the salutation of saying, you know, go in peace, wishing you prosperity, wishing you safety, wishing you health? Because Jesus says here that this peace will calm your heart. Now you can have everything, and yet you can be afraid. You can live you can be prosperous, you can have a family, you can have a lot of those things there, and your heart can be troubled. So you see, the peace that Jesus gives goes deeper than that. It has to be. But where? What? In John chapter 16, a couple of chapters later, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In me you will have peace. So we're beginning to see the key of where this peace is found and where we go with this peace. So as we think of peace and as we think of Christmas and we can begin to apply it to our everyday lives, and today especially to parenting, then parents, to Kevin and Jenna and John and Joyce, you can have total confidence in raising your little ones. Confidence because God, the peace that God brought came at Christmas time, that Christmas time so many years ago. That was the beginning of the story. The ending of the resurrection brings that home to us. Bill and Gloria Gaither in the 70s had gone through a very tough time, some things happening in their family and things happening in their ministry. And during that time, Gloria was pregnant with a child, and that's when they wrote this song, Because He Lives. And the second verse of that song is a truth that is there, that permeates a confidence in Jesus Christ. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. God sending His Son to be born in the flesh into a hostile world, a world that did not want Him, and yet He came. He came to bring peace. He came to bring peace into that world. Peace with God and the peace of God. Peace. How can we have peace? How can we promise, make the commitments that they did? How? Those are some pretty impressive commitments and words, if you think about it, that parents make. And many, many of us have made those over the years. Many of us now have adult children, and we know some of the other sides. We know some of the plans that the Lord has. We say that the desire that we have, that God has maybe for us, maybe not just us, but what God has for us, is peace with God and the peace of God. That's what Jesus came to bring, the peace of God and the peace with God. If we didn't have these things, this would be useless, what we are doing. Right? It would be of very little value. But we have to recognize that it is Jesus Christ. It is who He is that brings the power and the value and who makes these things happen. How did God make peace with us? How did God make peace with us? It wasn't us that had that idea. Christ entered the world and He made peace. But He made peace through the cross. He made peace through the cross. It's like a song that we listened to last night by Goldfish. It's called It's About the Cross. The beginning of the story doesn't bring us, is wonderful and great, but it's the ending of the story that we celebrate. Why? It's the ending of the story where it all comes together. And through Him, that is through Jesus, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on heaven, things on earth, or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Making peace by His blood shed on the cross. Jesus made that peace, bought that peace, paid for that peace on the cross by His blood. Peace with God is only possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is only found at the cross of Jesus Christ when we humbly bow there and accept His gift of salvation. And there we find the forgiveness of sin. And you know, the moment that we come to the cross, the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, at that moment, we are given the Holy Spirit as a deposit, so to speak, securing our salvation. And at that moment, that's where that great sense of spiritual peace, peace with God, comes into our lives. Paul says it in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, "Therefore we've been justified by faith." It's nothing that we could do. We couldn't work for it. We couldn't earn it. Our peace with God is by faith. We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this peace with God? You know, Christ had peace with God. If you think of it and you read through the Gospels, you will see how Christ had peace with God. And you will notice that that did not translate into peace in His circumstances or peace surrounding Him. The world around Christ was tumultuous. Israel was in bondage to the Roman world. The religious leaders had total authority over all the people. And yet Jesus had peace with God, and was not connected to that. What brought Him peace were, in some ways we could say, two things that are very meaningful to us. And one of them is the love of the Father. He knew that God the Father loved Him. And then the other one that goes along with that is He trusted, His trust in God the Father. He knew that His Father was not making any mistakes in any of this. He knew that the Father loved Him, and He trusted His Father. And as such, He was at one with the Father, and therefore at peace. The crowds were shouting. The leaders were trying to trick Him. He was betrayed by Judas, and yet He was at peace with God. He knew God's will and he trusted God's will. Peace with God leads us to the peace of God. You cannot have the peace of God in your life until you have peace with God. But you can have peace with God and not have the peace of God. Peace, the peace of God, is peace in our inner self. It's a tranquility of soul. It's a calmness. It's a quietness. It's more than, like I said, that salutation, you know, peace be with you. It's more than empty wishes. It's more than empty compliments. It's that deep, deep tranquility of the soul. A soul that knows that God is the ultimate source for my well-being. A soul that knows that no matter what happens in the world around me, I have one whom I can trust. I have someone who loves me unconditionally. And that brings peace into a soul. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And I will say it again, rejoice. What's the things that take the joy out of our lives? Circumstances, right? Circumstances. Other people. There's so many things that rob us of joy. And so Paul says, rejoice in what? Rejoice in the weather? No, that'll change. Rejoice in your work? That too may change. Rejoice in your family? It'll change. Rejoice in the Lord. There's your source. If it's not connected with the Lord, it's going to be temporary. It's going to be all over the place every day of the week, depending very much on what's happening in your life. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to say it again. We need to be reminded that we rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I came home the other day. I'd had an incredible morning. Good morning of work. Coffee at 10, coffee at 10:30, coffee at 11. And by noon, I had had about 5 cups of coffee, and I came home and Martha couldn't figure out why I was wired. But you know, that was a wiredness from coffee. But when we are worked up, we're often not gentle. When we are worked up, we don't notice the needs of others around us. Our responses to anyone and everyone where we go is not necessarily gentleness. Why? Because we are in turmoil. So if we look at it, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Look how he is leading to verse 7. Now verse 7 says, and the peace of God. Okay, he's working towards that. But first he tells us to rejoice. Then he tells us to be gentle. And now he says, you're going to need to be able to unwind, vent, share those things that are happening in your day. And so he says, don't be anxious. Anxiety works us up. It gets us into turmoil. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ was at peace. He was confident in his life because of his relationship to God. We can have that same thing in our lives. The peace of God is a tranquility that's there in spite or despite of everything that's going on around us. You know, if we look at Matthew, and I find it interesting, in some ways this passage doesn't fit in with the candle of peace, and in other ways it does. Because we can see peace as be looking around us and living in the country we're living in. We have a warm building, we have a wonderful building, we have so many good things going for us. But I want us to think of some other country. Think in your mind, travel somewhere else, and then do come back. I want to finish the sermon. But go somewhere else where they don't have what we have, where there's war, where there's hunger, where there's disease, where there's persecution, where there's death for your faith. These believers in that country where you've traveled to have the same peace that you and I do. These verses, I tell you, if they would read them, it would probably impact them different than it would you and I. But the same message of salvation is for them. The same message of peace is for them. And this verse tells us that. Because this is true for many, many people. Jesus said, "Don't suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth, peace to the earth." Okay, but he just said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." But now look at the next verse. He says, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." That doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. Choosing to follow Jesus Christ has a price tag. Choosing to become a follower of Jesus Christ does not mean that you will be rich, that you will be healthy, does not mean that everything good is going to happen to you. Oh, all the good things that happen to us, they are gifts for us to enjoy because we recognize that they come down, as James says, from the Father of the heavenly lights. James says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not shift as or change as a shadow. So they are there. That's true. That's not all there's to it, and this reminds us of it. Your faith, living passionately for Jesus Christ, will get you in trouble. It will not necessarily bring peace into your life of the circumstantial. So the peace that the angels came to announce when Jesus was born was a peace that nothing can defeat in your life. It's a peace, a tranquility of soul that's there because you are right with God, you have peace with God, and you are allowing the peace of God to be in your life. You see, we cannot have peace, the peace of God, until we first have the peace with God. Peace of God flows out of the peace with God. The peace with God has to do with your relationship with Him. Okay? The peace with God is this relationship with God. Have you been to the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you confessed your sin and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Then you become justified by faith and you have peace with God. The peace of God flows out of a relationship with God that's built on trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. It's not dependent on anything in this world, not circumstances, not relationships, nothing except God alone. Do you have peace with God? Come to the cross. Admit that you are a sinner. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He will. You will then have peace with God. Do you have the peace of God? Are you walking in obedience before Him? Do you trust Him with everything in your life? Let's pray. Lord, we know that we can only have peace through You. That's why Jesus came. That's why we have Christmas. If there had been any other way, I know, Father, You would have taken it and You would not have sacrificed Your one and only Son for us. But there was no other way to find peace with God, to bring peace into this world of sin and hate and turmoil. Thank You, Jesus, that You came. As we celebrate this season, Lord Jesus, You are the reason. You are the source. And we acknowledge You as our Savior, as our Lord. Amen.